When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Man, we're really excited to be here. It's awesome to get started. And so now we take off.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opperman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
The pads came on for the first time in Steelers 2022 training camp yesterday for day five practice and labs. You know, we hyped it up all day yesterday on the Training Camp Report, and I have to imagine that it lived up to the hype yesterday.
Well, you know, I don't know if anything really lives up to the hype, but let me just say this. I mean, it was a welcome change, you know, to see something that is closer to real football. You know, it is still drills, and so it's still a contained environment up here at training camp, but you know, you got to see some hitting, some tackling, you know, and it just feels like it's more legitimate, even if it's really not even preseason game like, which isn't even close to being regular season game like. But yeah. Again, it just feels more real. At least it did to me.
And I have to imagine there's just such a different energy, not just, you know, in the atmosphere around the practice field, but the players themselves on the field probably seem to take it up a little extra notch, get a little bit more excited. Like you said, this is actual football now. This is what we signed up for.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that the players also understand that this is now when real evaluations can happen. You know, the padless sessions, so very similar to the off-season program. I mean, you know, a lot of it is certainly graded and reviewed and all that stuff, and mental mistakes are charted and noted, and, you know, there's teaching and those kind of things. But, you know, players know as well when one guy gets his butt kicked by another guy, not only the people involved in either, you know, the kicky or the kicker, but their teammates. And oftentimes it's plain enough for the fans sitting on the hillside to see. And so, you know, nobody wants to be, you know, get their butt kicked and, you know, in front of people, especially if you've played football long enough and well enough to ascend, you know, to even have a chance to make an NFL team. So, yeah, I think that there's more excitement involved. And certainly along with that excitement, it comes a little bit of a, I won't call it fear because I think that that's unfair, but, you know, some real desire not to be, you know, the kicky when the, you know, foot meets butt.
Well, the pads coming on wasn't the only thing of change to note from yesterday's practice, and we're going to sink our teeth into all of the moving pieces on the Steelers offense and some things on the defensive side of the ball that popped as well. But before we do that, we always like to give a listen to Coach Tomlin's post-practice presser early on in our training camp report. So before we move on anywhere, let's take a listen to what Coach had to say following day five's practice.
Man, great to get out and compete today. Put the pads on is a significant step. But equally as important is the learning that is born out of these opportunities. So we got a big evening tonight and continue with the growth process and hopefully do it at a higher level again tomorrow. Not a lot of significant news regarding health-related things. Najee wasn't able to finish. Somebody stepped on his foot, but it shouldn't be a major deal. All the others that we've outlined are kind of status quo. Jeremy McNichols is getting his shoulder evaluated. He wasn't able to participate today. That's one that I miss. But other than that, man, just really excited to be in this environment and continue with this growth process and keep snapping that ball and watching them grow individually and collectively. Questions?
Mike, you had a heavy run practice. I'm guessing that's because the pads going on. And what, did you like it?
I did. You know, we just got a lot of growth ahead of us, both sides of the ball in that space. And so when given an opportunity, we're certainly going to focus on that component of play. Just not a lot of padded opportunities between now and when you step into a stadium based on the structure of the preseason. And so when you get those opportunities, it really needs to be a focus.
Mike, you swapped the order of Mason and Kenny. Just what was the thought process behind that today?
There'll be more of that. All of those guys will run in all groups. It's just part of team development.
So we shouldn't read into it as now Kenny's the two, Mason's the three?
You should not, but I'm sure you will.
Anyone else?
Mike, what benefits have you seen so far from just having Brian Flores on your staff?
Boy, you know, he just is a football lover. He's a good communicator. He does the things that you value from a coach's perspective in terms of challenging guys, holding them accountable, and leading his group. He's a hand in the power guy, so it's been a good addition.
Mike, there seems to be room for competition at backup running back and some second-level outside linebackers. Those guys went against each other today in backs and backers. What did you see from those position groups?
I thought both groups had their moments. I'd like to see more detail, hand usage per positions, but that's something that's just going to come as we continue to work.
Can you talk a little bit about Jaylen Warren? Scouting report with him, he's a good blocker and chipper, but what have you seen with him getting cut?
You know, he has an appetite for the competition, and that is a good thing. He's learning and learning fast, but I think the most significant thing that's captured my attention is he seems really comfortable in these waters from a competition standpoint.
Is there any change in the Deontay Johnson status situation, or will there be any change in the way he practices?
There wasn't any today. We'll see what tomorrow holds.
Mike, with Najee being evaluated, how much do you have to weigh wanting him to participate and him wanting to participate with being cautious?
Somebody stepped on him.
I feel like the intensity of the back-on-backers, is that a drill that maybe is not, I don't know, say fair, but not conducive to the tight ends?
You know, drills are football-like. They're not football. What I mean is someone has an advantage in a drill, and I expect those that have an advantage to win quickly. I expect those that are at a disadvantage to fight and compete. And that's just the nature of drill work. We construct drills at times to provide an advantage for one side of the ball or the other. It's just part of the growth process.
It seemed like you threw rookies out there a couple of times over and over again. Is that something that was just born in that opportunity, or is that something that you want to see coming into backs on backers?
No, they need reps. And so it's really as simple as that. They need reps, and so you provide them the additional reps that they need.
You've had eyes on Scott for a little while at linebacker and Avery for the first time this year. What are you seeing from those two guys?
You know, both guys have done a nice job. We'll just look at the tape and continue to monitor their growth and development. I expect Avery to show that he's an NFL football player because his resume displays that. And so that's just one component of his eval.
That was Coach Tomlin speaking to the media following Day 5's padded practice yesterday. Labs, I want to start with Seven Shots and a couple of things of note from Seven Shots that were different when the pads came on. The first thing I want to touch on was something that you actually predicted or thought might happen on yesterday's training camp report. You're like Labstradamus, just seeing into the future. But you thought that we might see a little bit of Najee getting some run, and lo and behold, first play in Seven Shots, they hand the ball off to number 22.
Yeah, and you know that's one of the things I think that the Steelers need to develop, and the only way you develop it is by working at it, you know, in training camp. And you know, you need I really think that a good red zone offense has to be one that can run the ball into the end zone. And you know, I remember back in 2004 the training camp that Bill Cowher kind of nicknamed Reestablishing the Mindset, you know, after the Tommy Maddox mistake of 2002 and 2003, when the Steelers kind of lost their way offensively and, you know, became a high wire act on offense, which was totally out of their personality. And Ken Wisenhunt was the new offensive coordinator that summer. And Bill Cowher didn't do Seven Shots. He did goal line. And there were several installments of goal line. And at one point, Ken Wisenhunt ran the ball 14 straight times. Now, you know, in 2004, that was Casey Hampton and Aaron Smith and, you know, those people.
Right.
So that wasn't very highly successful early. And I remember asking Ken Wisenhunt, you know, did you ever think about a play action pass? And he said, scoring a touchdown in August up here is not nearly as important as me getting the point across to this offense that when we get down close, they have to have the attitude to run the football into the end zone. And so, you know, that kind of taught me that outcomes aren't necessarily as important as, you know, establishing, a mindset, you know, to use Bill Cowher's word, that, you know, this is the way we're going to play. And so I think football players, especially when you get, when they get to this level, you know, they are of the mind of the, they have learned that, you know, get it done the way that the coach tells you to get it done. That's one of your jobs. And so, you know, I like the fact that the first play of 7-on-7 was a running play, not only because of what you have to teach the offense, but don't forget, the Steelers were last in the NFL in run defense last year too. So, you know, you're kind of drilling both sides at the same time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, they're not going to do it a lot, I don't think, especially not with Najee. I mean, you don't want him getting pounded down there. But every now and then, you know, again, you want to teach your offensive line that there are going to be times in those situations when their primary job is to come off the ball and, you know, drive somebody on defense backwards. And you want your defense to get the idea that when they're down there, you know, it's not always going to be pick plays in the end zone or fade passes.
Yeah.
That they're going to sometimes have to hunker down, you know, and shed blocks and make tackles. So, again, I just think that when you look at this Steelers team and where it is, those kinds of drills, that kind of thinking really accomplishes two goals all at once.
Yeah, and Najee powered his way across the goal line, so he was successful in his one rush attempt in seven shots, gave the offense a 1-0 lead. But, you know, it just makes your life so much easier when you have a successful red zone goal line running game. The field gets shorter, the field gets tighter. It's so much harder to score through the air. If you can just hand the ball off to number 22 and he can rumble his way 5 yards into the end zone every time, you're going to be very successful and very, very stress-free for the most part once you get down there.
Yeah, and I've always – it's never really made any sense to me how a lot of NFL teams, when they get down close to the goal line, they pack everybody in because then the defense responds the same way and packs everybody in. And then you're trying to, you know, dig buffaloes out of small spaces. I always thought that if you spread everybody out, then the defense would have to spread everybody out, and you give the ball to a talented running back and he should be able to – find some kind of opening and maybe only have to break one tackle instead of try and push back a couple of 300-pound defensive linemen. But, hey, what do I know?
Well, the one change that has everybody super excited in Steelers Nation was the movement of Kenny Pickett up to the second team. He got his chance to run with the twos not only in seven shots but when they went on to do 11-on-11 as well. We heard from Tomlin just recently in that post-practice presser saying, there's no reason to read too much into that. You're going to see change like that happen for the next couple of weeks. But he also noted that we will read too much into that. And I'm sure there are a lot of Steelers fans this morning that have moved their depth chart in their kitchen as they eat breakfast as Kenny Pickett up to number two and Mason down to number three.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. But I do believe, I do take Mike Tomlin and his word, and I believe him. Because really, you have to be able to see, for example, since we're talking about him, Kenny Pickett, play with and against better competition. If you're really going to be able to come up with an accurate evaluation of him in terms of whether he deserves, you know, to be the starting quarterback. So, you know, we talked about this previously, that in the padless drills, you know, you might be watching 7-on-7 with Kenny Pickett as an example, and just look at the outcome of the play. Oh, he checked it down, or he threw a swing pass to the tight end, or, you know, whatever. And he didn't push the ball down the field, those kinds of things. And what the point I made was, well, when they're graded, you know, the coaches will determine whether he went to the correct spot with the ball based on the coverage, you know, those kinds of things. So Mike Tomlin didn't say that, and I know that I don't know that that is was a reason, you know, for the decision, but I do believe that there was some of that involved. That, you know, Kenny Pickett's evaluation to that point probably included enough of good decision making and putting the ball where it was supposed to, where they would look at him and say, okay, this guy deserves a chance to play with some better people and play against better some better competition. Now, that doesn't mean that Mason Rudolph was substandard. I mean, because I think that's where a lot of fans want to go right away. They don't want to say, well, this one guy did good. They want to say, well, this guy did bad, especially when it's Mason Rudolph and Steelers fans.
Yes, very much so.
But, you know, again, I do think that they're going to give Kenny Pickett some opportunities, and they'll move it around too, because I would imagine that, moving him back, maybe that might be a test. You know, how does he handle that? Does he go in the tank? Because, you know, maybe it's not even deserved. Let's just say, you know, they make the determination that, hey, Mason's playing really well. Let's move him back to two, give him some more reps there, and then see how Pickett reacts to that. Because, you know, you don't want a guy to be so fragile mentally, you know, that he goes in the tank on something like that, because it's maybe not even that significant. Because there's going to be real adversity that an NFL quarterback is going to have to face during real games against real opponents. So, you know, a lot of this is, you know, just part of the teaching process, the evaluation process. And, you know, we got a couple of weeks now before the first preseason game. And I think that they want to get some kind of idea, look at where a lot of these guys are, including the quarterbacks.
Well, we know Kenny went 0-for-2 in his two chances and seven shots running with the second team. When you saw him out there 11-on-11 with the second team, did you notice maybe a little bit of improvement, looking a little better, playing with guys that were a little more talented than the threes that he had been running with? Or was it kind of more of the same, you know, I don't want to say struggle. I think the right word is learning curve that he's experiencing as he makes the transition from college to the NFL.
Well, let's start. We were talking about seven shots, so let's just I'll start with those.
Yeah.
He was 0-for-2 through two incomplete passes. Neither one of them was particularly, on the money. Now, again, I'm not sophisticated enough to have a good idea and understanding of, you know, did he even go to the right receivers? Because it's really difficult for me. I'll speak just personally for me. Because you only get to see it once.
Right.
There's no replay. I can't rewind the video or any of that kind of stuff. So, you know, you're looking at so many things. Was he under pressure? Who's he looking for? Is that guy open? And I miss a lot of stuff. I'm not going to try and pretend that I don't. So, but it just seemed that when he delivered the ball and where the ball went, one was an overthrow and the other one was wide. So, you know, I could make the case that he wasn't accurate just based on that, but I don't know enough detail about where the coverage was that maybe he was trying to put the ball the only place it could go. Okay. So I don't want to really say or cast, you know, make any definitive statements about how he was doing, because there's just so much of it that is above my level of understanding. So, he didn't really look that much different to me, but neither did the offensive line in terms of the kind of protection he was getting either. I mean, he made a couple of plays in some 11-on-11 situations where he had to get himself out of the pocket. One play he made really nice. There was a really nice play was in the third down drill. He got himself out of pressure, and then he delivered an accurate and on-time throw to Miles Boykin, who was coming back to help the quarterback, and the ball arrived perfectly timed and in the right spot, right at the stick for Miles Boykin to make the catch and step out of bounds to get the first down. So, yes, there were flashes of, boy, that was a nice throw, nice play. But, again, to make a general statement, I'm not comfortable doing that yet.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
that. I'm not guarding like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With the return of pads came the return of backs on backers, and one player on the defensive side of the ball flashed there and throughout the rest of practice, so we'll get into that and talk about him on the other side of the break. Before we hit the break, though, we want to let you know that Omar Khan will be having a press conference today at 11:30. You can hear that press conference live right here on Steelers Nation Radio. It'll also be streamed live on Steelers.com, Steelers mobile app, and you can stream it on the team's Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages. So that's Omar Khan at 11:30 today right here on SNR, so make sure you're tuning in for that. Like I said, backs on backers on the way next, and we'll talk about some of the wide receivers as well. That's all on the way on the Training Camp Report right here on SNR.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opferman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
Day 6 of Steelers practice is today at 1:55 at Chucknell Field on St. Vincent College in Latrobe. Day 2 in pads for the Steelers today. With the return of pads yesterday, we saw the return of backs on backers and, of course, live tackling for the Steelers. And Labs, you mentioned yesterday that it's always interesting to see who Tomlin pits against who to start backs on backers. Who were the two players that he tabbed yesterday to kick things off?
Najee and Miles Jack.
Ooh, I don't think I could have picked a better pair.
Well, I mean, you know, once it became obvious that, you know, TJ Watt was sitting that one out.
he did not participate, right?
No, yeah, what's the point? Yeah, those seem to me to be a couple of the, you know, the prime candidates. I mean, Miles Jack is new to the Steelers, and so not that he needs, you know, he's got enough of an NFL resume that you don't necessarily need to impress upon him that it's necessary to play physically, but still. And then Najee is, you know, he wants to be a leader. You want him to be able to show his teammates, you know, by example, some of the things that he's willing to do. And so, yeah, it kind of made sense as I thought about it, you know, as it was happening. You know, but for me, this, I've seen a lot of backs on backers, a lot of them. And this one was rather, drama free is the way I would, you know, I've seen some things, you know, backs on backers where James Harrison, I mean, he was like running over people. It was like seeing someone try to stop a moving Volkswagen, you know, or there were times where Joey Porter or Chad Brown or some of those guys would make attempted blockers look stupid, just really foolish. Chad Brown put a spin move on a guy one time that the guy tried to like reach out to block him, and he wasn't there, and he whiffed so badly, he lost his balance and fell on his face. So, but there was none of that, you know, this time. And I think that Mike Tomlin would actually prefer it that way. I mean, you want to get through the drill, see some guys, see how they react to some things, you know, without a lot of the embarrassment or, you know, sometimes it gets a little verbally abusive down on the field, you know, between the offensive guy and the defensive guy. Because I'm here to tell you, as Mike Tomlin, when we heard the Mike Tomlin post-practice rundown, he said something to the effect that, you know, inherent in every drill often is an advantage and a disadvantage for one side or the other. So clearly in this version of backs on backers, the disadvantage is for the blocker, because the blocker can't cut the guy as he would be able to do in a real game. That's legal. So you got to stand up there. You know, if you're a 200-pound running back, say, and you got to block James Harrison, who gets like a five or six yard sprint at you. I mean, you can tell who the disadvantaged person is there. However, in a day or two, they're going to do backs on backers again, only it's going to be, they call it backs on backers pass, which means the linebacker has to try to cover the running back one-on-one. Ooh. The entire field is open.
The advantage
and there's
flips.
No pass rush. And there's no pass rush. You know, I remember, you know, there were guys, you know, trying to cover Le'Veon Bell in an open field like that with no pressure on the passer. I mean, it's just, you know, it's impossible. But as Mike Tomlin said, you know, I just expect those who are at the disadvantage in the drill to fight and compete. And so, you know, yesterday was the time for the running backs, the tight ends in some instances, to fight and compete. And I think he largely got what he was looking for.
We mentioned Miles Jack was the linebacker that went in the first matchup of backs on backers. And you noted in your practice report that, you know, Harris stood up to that initial charge, but it was just the start of a large portion of this practice where Miles Jack was just around the ball and in the thick of a lot of the action. When they did live tackling, Miles Jack was all over the field. Tomlin said in his post-practice press, you know, we did want to put a little emphasis on the run and stopping the run. It has to be music to a lot of fans' ears, and it has to be really encouraging, although early on, for the coaching staff that this guy that you brought in the offseason, Miles Jack, to really shore up your inside linebacking and stopping that run, I mean, he checked that box big time on day one.
Yeah, and I think more when we're talking about Miles Jack and why he was brought to the Steelers and what his what's in his wheelhouse as an inside linebacker, much more telling was the first play of live tackling. Because, you know, it's 11-on-11. They handed the ball to Le'Veon Bell, and Miles Jack shot through and tackled him for a loss. I mean, that's what I think the Steelers are looking for this guy, from this guy. You know, I remember last summer, I know I got really excited when the Steelers acquired Joe Schobert in the trade from Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I think that this free agent signing from Jacksonville is actually going to be a bigger help for what they need from their group of inside linebackers and what, you know, their defense needs, you know, overall, because this guy is a physical, more of a physical player, more of a run stuffer, but he's not so one-dimensional that he's a liability on the field if the offense doesn't cooperate and decides to throw the ball.
We're going to hear from wide receiver George Pickens in just a few minutes here, but a couple of quick notes before we get there. You heard Tomlin mention in his presser that we played in the first segment today, Najee Harris did experience an injury that had him shut his practice down. He just got his left foot stepped on, and like Tomlin said, there's probably nothing of concern there. You just want to be careful with a guy who's going to be the focal point of your offense like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is. He is a running back, and it is his foot. And there's really, you know, as we were talking in the first segment as well, you know, it's still a couple of weeks before the first preseason game. You know, the first regular season game is in Cincinnati, Sunday, September 11th. It's August the 2nd.
Yeah, we have still over a month to go, yeah.
Right, and, you know, as someone once told me, you know, anything that Najee Harris – that happens to Najee Harris or he does on the field at this point of the year is bad news. Because what are you going to say? He had a nice run. I mean, you know, that's not news. If Najee Harris is in the news now, it's for what we were just talking about, an injury. How serious is it? When will he be back? You know, is it going to keep him out long? Blah, 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 that kind of stuff. So there's no point in testing his toughness, because this is not the time for that kind of toughness. There is some kind of toughness that you're looking for from your top line players all the time, but, you know, playing through, you know, a potential foot injury without allowing it to, I won't say fester because that's not the right word, but develop or whatever, to so you can really see what it is and determine a course of treatment for it and start that treatment process. You know, to me, that's just foolish.
Another note that I'm sure most Steelers fans would categorize as bad news was that Deontay, when the pads came on, he did not put his pads on, refrained from doing team activities once again, just did some individual work padless. I thought there was a chance, Labs, that when the pads came on, he might change his tune a bit and join in on the team stuff. But seeing as how that did not happen, I don't see a really logical end in sight Other than that, you know, there's no maybe that first preseason game is the next mile marker that you could look at to see when he would jump in. But I think this might be a long haul kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, kind of it's in for a penny, in for a pound kind of deal. If he was going to just hold in for the through the non-contact part of training camp, I mean, what's even the point of that?
Okay.
In my mind, in terms of him trying to, you know, get the out him and his agent trying to get the outcome that they're looking for. But yeah, I kind of thought this was going to be that kind of situation. I mean, we didn't see TJ Watt last year put the pads on when the pads started to go on. I mean, if you're going to do this, you know, I think you have to be committed to it. And, you know, I don't know how I really don't know how this is going to turn out. I mean, I can see it both ways. I can certainly see what Deontay Johnson is trying to do in terms of not force the team into a negotiation, but protect himself while that process is going on. But I just don't know if it's going to work. If he doesn't get the contract extension, then is he in a situation where he's playing with a new quarterback and then a new kind of offense anyway, even though Matt Canada is still the coordinator, but Ben's not the quarterback anymore. So has he then hurt himself in the attempt or the goal of, you know, a show me kind of season in 2022 that might allow him to cash in when he becomes an unrestricted free agent next March? So,
right.
You know, it's a educated guess, a gamble, however you want to describe it. And, you know, I don't know how it's going to turn out. And I'm just happy, relieved, I guess would be the word, that I'm not the person who's giving him advice on what course of action he should take. Because I really, it could go either way. It really could. And I could talk myself into it either way. So, you know, as I said, I don't think he's going to be coming back. And I don't know how it's going to turn out.
Well, one guy that's definitely making the most of the opportunity of Deontay Johnson sitting out has been rookie wide receiver George Pickens. He actually caught up with the media yesterday, and we have that audio for you right here on SNR.
You were a guy, when you were at Georgia, you were a guy that looked like you really embraced the blocking aspect of playing wide receiver.
Yeah.
How long has that been a goal of yours, and how much are you looking forward to putting the pads on today and showing a little of that?
Really just keep doing the same thing I've been doing. At the end of the day, it's like football, so you don't really up it one day more just because we got pads on or up it one day less just because we don't. So,
is that something they stress? Somebody stressed to you at an early age, hey, you can't just catch passes, you got to do some dirty work?
Yeah, as an early age, I didn't play offense. So that kind of explained itself to me.
What'd you play?
Safety and cornerback.
You like blocking?
Yeah, it's cool. It's not like a, you know, everybody don't want to do it, but like, I don't really got no problem with pass catching, blocking, route running. It's football, so.
What's been the key to your success so far?
Just keep working. That's kind of what I said at the combine too, like, just keep working. I'm probably said at every interview too, because that's literally what I do. That's all I do, bro.
You got a lot of people, teammates I'm talking about, bringing your name up to us.
Oh, yeah, on my fault.
Describing you as head turning. Are you hearing any of this? Are they relaying any of this to you? And how did your first week go in that regard?
I feel like my first week went good. I haven't really heard any teammates really say anything. They just really tell me just keep doing what I'm doing. So.
The other thing that seems to stand out about your game is your body control.
Mm-hmm.
How long has that been a plus for you?
Ever since I was like 7. Like, I just been working. I always kind of had, I mean, I would guess say I'm blessed, I guess.
What helped you and Calvin bond? He was saying, like, you guys are really tight. You talk about games, music, stuff like that. But you didn't know each other before you got drafted here. So what is it that's kind of contributed to you guys getting so close so fast?
I kind of did know him a little bit in the combine because we was, you know, the receiver group, always we were the first group to get to the combine. And really just every day being there. You know, like, when you be with somebody every day, you gonna, it's just like your kids. You feel me? You're going to eventually know what they want to do, know what they – so that's kind of how our bond kind of created. It wasn't like no set-up plan type.
How much are they putting on your plate? Like, how many different positions have you learned so far and all that?
My freshman year at UGA, I played Z. And you know, I'm normally like an X, like a backside receiver, X one-on-one type deal. But it's kind of the same thing, to be honest. It really helped playing in the pro-style offense. It's the same thing, you know what I mean?
George, speaking of Calvin, who's the fastest on the team?
So far, he's glitching. So, yeah, so far, I'd probably say. There's some guys with speed on defense, too, so, you know, can't really say the whole team. But as far as, like, offense, yeah, probably Calvin.
Calvin said you're a big Memphis music guy. Who do you like? Who do you listen to?
Really the same artist he listened to. That's like part of the question, you know, before. Like, it just happened. It wasn't like, you feel me, like you said, we know each other before. He didn't know I listened to Memphis rappers. I didn't even know he was from Memphis. You know what I mean? So, like, it just kind of clicked.
Who are some of those Memphis rappers?
Young Dolph, R.P., who else? Yo Gotti. That's really like the main two. Those are like the main two that are like huge. They drop a song almost every day. You know what I mean? So like, yeah.
Is that what y'all are playing in your room?
Yeah, I mean, our room's kind of connected. So if he's playing, I can already hear it. I don't even have to go over there.
Claypool said he thinks you could be maybe the most productive rookie receiver in the league this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Any thoughts on what you might get done?
I just tell him, you know, thank you, Chase. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm just going to keep working. I don't really, you know, kind of look at the accolades. I just kind of let it happen. You know, just kind of like the Calvin thing. It's just going to happen naturally.
George, when you come to camp, is your objective to make people, make coaches take notice of you, and have you done that?
Really just like my objective in camp was really just to, you know, show guys we've been not in pads the whole time. So just showing like all the coaches, I'm really a nice route runner. You remember that was my biggest thing because everybody know I'm big, fast. That was my, you know, just deep ball type of guy. That's what Randy Moss was. Randy Moss really never had to, and that's kind of what I wanted to display.
You and Kenny are going to be linked together for presumably a long time here. Yeah. How has that relationship grown? Did you know him at all before you got here?
Yeah, the combine really helped that a lot. Like some of the guys that you probably won't think you don't know, you still kind of know. Like when Kenny got here, we was already familiar. We, you know, top 30 visits, you visit other teams with that player, so.
Two more guys.
The body control that you talked about, you said you've had it since you were 6 or 7, mm-hmm. but did you hit a growth spurt at any point that it got a little difficult to start trying to control your body, or did that just come naturally?
It just came naturally. You know, naturally I wanted to do a different bit of drills as taller I get. So, you know, some people get tall and they just start working on, you know, just regular stuff that you already are blessed with. When I just wanted to model my game after a little guy and try to, you know, improve it that way.
That's Steelers rookie wide receiver George Pickens speaking with the media yesterday at St. Vincent College before practice of day 5. Labs, expectations are high for that rookie wide receiver, and they seem to be getting higher each day as camp rolls along. One thing I really love to hear from him, I wouldn't say that he was enthusiastic when he said he likes to block, but I think he understands that that's definitely part of the game and definitely part of what the Steelers offense is going to require from him moving forward.
Yeah, and if, you know, looking at clips of him, you know, during college games, you know, regardless of what he says or whether he sounds enthusiastic when talking about it, you can see by his play that he is willing and aggressive in that area. And you know, I've mentioned this before that the way you turn, you know, 4 to 6 yard runs in the NFL into 8 to 12 to 15 yard runs in the NFL is with perimeter blocking, and George Pickens is willing to provide that.
When we come back, we're going to wrap up the training camp report. We want to talk some offensive line, as it was really the first good look you had at that unit, and also touch on some of the rookies that have been flashing so far up at St. Vincent for Steelers 2022 training camp. That's all on the way next right here on the Steelers training camp report on Steelers Nation Radio.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opperman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
Wrapping things up here on Day 6's Training Camp Report. Day 6 practice starts today at 1:55 p.m., so if you're headed up, make sure you get there for the start of the festivities. Everybody loves when the pads come on. We've been talking about that all day today. The fans love it. We love it. The coaches love it. The players love it. But I have to imagine one group that loves it particularly more than the rest is that offensive line group. We got our first look at that new look unit, really our first legitimate look at that new look unit yesterday. The left guard rotation, stayed the same. It continued as we expected to for a while here throughout camp. But other than that, anything that kind of jumped out at you in the first initial phase of padded practices for the offensive line?
This jumped out at me, but it was not the first group. During live tackling drill, it was a short yardage situation, and I'm looking through here through my practice report so I get the names right. But there was an instance where an offensive lineman jumped the count.
Jordan Tucker, I believe it was.
Okay. And Pat Meyer, the offensive line coach, immediately pulled him out. And there was no, like, yelling at him or anything. He just pulled him out as the team was almost still, the rest of the offense was still in their stances. Because the whistles blew right away, you know, to stop everything.
Yeah.
And so he pulled him out, and he didn't make him run a lap, but he made him run, to the other end of the field and back. And he was immediately replaced in the lineup. And then they went back and they ran the play as if nothing had happened. So, you know, I've seen different coaches and different offensive line coaches, you know, handle those kinds of things differently. You know, Bill Cowher was that would make him crazy, those kind of pre-snap penalties. You know, Russ Grimm wasn't much of a yeller or a screamer. He'd just kind of give the guy a look like, you know, what are you doing? Because his point was, you know, if you're in the NFL as an offensive lineman and you jump the count, you know you messed up.
Right.
You know, I don't really have to say anything to you. If you do it again, you know, then we have a problem most likely. But so that was a little something different. And, you know, I'm going to see how to continue to watch things like that just to see how, you know, this is Pat Meyer's first year as the offensive line coach. And you're just trying to gauge, you know, how he goes about his job and interacts with his players. And so, you know, I don't know if I'm in favor or opposed, you know, to that kind of thing. If that's his style, that's fine with me. And we'll see if it, you know, has an impact. But, you know, there didn't seem to be, you know, to get back to answering your question, first snap of live tackling, Najee Harris gets tackled in the backfield. Mm. You know, another play in live tackling, he was kind of brought down from behind and tackled for little or no gain.
We've seen this movie before. Right,
if you're asking me, was there a big jump in improvement? No, but then, you know, you flip it around and you think, wow, the defense is stopping the run. So, you know,
LA Labs, look at the glass half full.
Well, but I mean, you can truly, and it's legitimate to paint it either way.
Right.
Because you can say, well, boy, the run defense, you know, the offensive line was terrible. Well, you know, but the run defense was last in the league. So, you know, which is, you know, you want to be happy or you want to be angry or, you know, how do you kind of split the baby, so to speak? So, you know, and let me here I'm going to give away one of my secrets and to our millions of listeners. I'll tell you what I think about the offensive line when I get a chance to talk to Max Starks and Craig Wolfley about it, because I mean, I always did that. Even,
right,
you know, with Tunch Ilkin, I would try and find him when he was watching, you know, the one-on-one pass block pass rush drills, and I'd just stand next to him. And I'd just say to him, you know, commentate. I wouldn't even ask any questions. You learn some things about how to, you know, the way you play the position. And you also, you know, get some evaluations on the guys that you're watching.
Wolf and Starks are in the locker room following us, so make sure you keep it here to hear what those guys have to say from the first day of padded practices. But before we hand things off to those two, I wanted to talk about the strong showing that we've seen from this rookie class through camp. I mean, obviously there's not massive expectations on anyone really, maybe outside of George Pickens right now with that class, but, you know, Pickett's obviously got a lot of the attention, as he naturally would. Pickens has looked like one of the best players in camp. You see Connor Hayward making plays. You see DeMarvin Leal making plays. Calvin Austin is popping as one of the faster guys, if not the fastest guy on this roster. I mean, it's super, super early, but so far the returns on this rookie class look like it's a pretty good start.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, some of those guys, they're going to need them, you know, to pop and to contribute. You know, George Pickens, for one, I think that, you know, this guy is legit. And so to me, it's not a question of if this guy is a player, you know, it's he is. How are they going to use him and how productive is he going to be? The Calvin Austin thing, I've seen a couple of, you know, he just shows burst that you can tell is special because you see him running with other, you know, with the other players. One of the most successful running plays, you know, during the live tackling was a jet sweep with Austin getting the ball and one more downfield block and he goes all the way. Mm-hmm. So one of the things with this guy is going to be if the opponent, whoever it is unable to truly gauge his speed watching him on video, you know, and all those first, you know, the first time against him and the Steelers, if they're unable to gauge his speed watching it on video, he's gonna break some long plays. Even watching him, he catches punts well, and he has a gear that you can just see is gonna make him effective in that respect. We've talked about DeMarvin Leal too. He flashes, you know, before you know it, he's in the backfield. Now I don't know if he's going to be able to be as effective and when he has to like hunker down and be physical and take on blocks and those kinds of things. But I'm not willing to say that he's not. And I also don't know that his quickness and athleticism might not be able to compensate for some of, you know, I won't say lack of strength, but unfamiliarity with how to play in there when you're just trying to be physical. You know, until he's able to get stronger. So yeah, I'm liking a lot of these rookies, and I think that everybody's going to be focused on the quarterback naturally. Obviously, if he's not playing, then is the draft class certainly a bust in their first year? But there's a lot more to it than that.
Practice today starts at 1:55. If you are headed up to St. Vincent to take in the festivities, the Steeler legend for the photo op today is Larry Brown, four-time Super Bowl champion with the Steelers of the 70s. Tomorrow's legend is Rocky Blyer. So there are 8 Super Bowl rings that'll be on campus in the next 2 days. It's pretty impressive stuff. Make sure you get up there and get your photo taken with Larry Brown today, Rocky Blyer tomorrow. We also wanted to remind you that Steelers general manager Omar Khan will be having a press conference today. We will be broadcasting that live right here on SNR. It's at 11:30. AM, so make sure you're tuning into that. You can also stream the press conference live on Steelers.com, the Steelers official mobile app, and the team's Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages. So definitely looking forward to hear from Omar Khan later on today, and we'll definitely sink our teeth into some of the things that he said on tomorrow's practice report. But that's going to do it for us here today. Wolf and Starks are in the locker room up next. For Bob Labriola, I'm Tom Opperman, and this has been the Training Camp Report right here on Steelers Nation Radio.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Viking. Committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.